This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. A lot different this morning than yesterday morning. The sun was out. It was really a very pleasant walking downtown. It was great to get down to the New Orleans Riverside Hotel and Convention Center, one of the oldest of the big convention center hotels here in the city. And we'll have an opportunity to talk to David Piscola, general manager of the Hilton Riverside Hotel, later today. But this is New Orleans and Company during National Travel and Tourism Week, hosting a luncheon, recognizing a whole host of people, those that are in management, those that are in operations, those who are in the trenches, turning the wrenches each and every day with a smile on their face. And remember what I always say, human nature is a first impression is a last impression. And I don't care where it is that you go, whether that's the airport or you leave the airport, your next experience, that first experience always is another impression that people remember. So when you pull up to a hotel and you're greeted by someone out front, they will remember that if it is someone with a smile on their face, excited about what they do, and excited to make you or to provide you an environment to really enjoy yourself and make it easy. Because sometimes travel is not so easy. And when it's not so easy, it's even more important that that first impression is one that just knocks your socks off. And we're joined now with a person who knows that better than anyone because he's living this day in, day out. That's Walt Leger III, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, congratulations. Great event, sold-out event today here at New Orleans Riverside. I love that you guys are recognizing all different sorts of folks and where they are, from management, mid-level, those that are in the trenches, as I said earlier, turning the wrenches. You got to be really excited about this today.
Absolutely. It's a truly exciting day. It's
your first event since
it's our first in-person sort of luncheon type event like this since COVID. And since I've been here a part of the team. I think actually I was maybe got to do the first one weeks before COVID kind of started to close things down like this. And so we're,
so it's all your fault then about COVID.
It feels like the timing was kind of eerie. Yeah. I mean, but we're thrilled to be back. And to your point, celebrating people who are making it happen every day. You know, I mean, this industry is made up of people and, travel can be complicated. I spent the night at the Atlanta airport just two nights ago because of the weather here. We flew in, circled New Orleans for a few hours around midnight, and then they took us back to Atlanta at 3 a.m., slept in the airport. And to your point, some of the service and the staff that we engaged with had at the airport in Atlanta had different attitudes. Right. There were two people I think of in my brain right now. And one was negative and one was positive, and I prefer the positive.
Yes.
So, I to your point, it's made up of people. People are imperfect, right, but the people of our city are a little more perfect than the people of other cities, and I think it's what makes it such a special place. You know, I mean, certainly there isn't anything that happens here that isn't built on the people making that experience matter and making it special.
And it's a nice reminder for folks when you recognize them and invite them to these events that what they do truly does matter, especially when you get dozens and dozens of letters from folks that y'all interact with and help set up their visit here, talking about these little nuanced experiences that they have with folks in this industry.
When you think about the power of travel, and we talk about it being a $2.9 trillion industry, it's really easy to forget about the people that make that happen. $2.9 trillion economic footprint of travel across the globe and to the United States. But all of that is based on the interactions that people have with individuals. And, you know, today we're recognizing transportation workers and people who are bus drivers who move people around the city and who very distinctly have an impact on what your experience is going to be, for the good or for the bad. And fortunately, a lot of the times here, it's for the good. And certainly the folks we're representing today are for the good. So while you talk about these huge dollar amounts and the economic impact on our community and how it helps pay for public safety and infrastructure and education and all of those things, I think it's important to drill down to the people and remember that it's about the impact that it has on those individuals, that it creates the visitorship creates an opportunity for a livelihood and for the ability to support a family. And more importantly, it speaks to the why. You know, I mean, why are people doing this? Why do people choose to live their life in that way and choose to work in an industry like this one that is of service to others on a daily basis? And I think it's because of the old kind of concept that you give what you get. And, you know, when you are able to open up and give somebody something and welcome someone, then you get a smile in return, or you get some other interaction in return that brightens your day a little bit too. And it makes, you know, the grind of day in and day out just a little bit better. And I think that's, it's about experiences and the experiences you have with your fellow human being. And I think people tend to have magical ones when they're in our community, and it's obvious why, but we don't always talk about why.
Not unlike most industries, things just don't happen. You have to make them happen. This industry, though, even more so, right? Because it's all about execution. It's timing, because you're event to event to event, experience to experience to experience. This city's not always the easiest in some respect, because it's not like in San Diego, for example. You wake up 365 days a year and the weather is
perfect.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Right.
Here, there are challenges on top of challenges on top of challenges. You have to pivot, you have to be nimble, you have to adapt, and you got to be able to provide folks easy access to a whole lot of things with a whole lot of challenges.
There, preview of some of my comments today, I mean, speak just to that. You know, I mean, Charles Darwin said it's not the most intellectually superior or the strongest species that survives, it's the one that's most open to adaptation.
Right.
And adaptability is really the key. And so in our industry, we talk about resilience a lot in our community. I know there are a lot of people who wish they didn't have to be so resilient, but resilience and adaptability is the foundation of life, right? Not just in this industry, but in almost any industry. The reality, though, is, to your point, when you're dealing with thousands of human beings that, and what's also great about being here at the Hilton today is they got a bunch of meetings and conferences going on, not just our meeting.
There's a
three or four things happening at the same time.
Huge trucking thing going on across the hall.
And so adaptability and the ability to pivot is essential in this industry. And our people execute that very, very well, despite, the challenges that pop up. You make it happen. We had the snowstorm in the middle of the National Auto Dealers event just a few days ago, right? It seems like 10 years ago, but it was just a few days ago, in the 20th day of the year.
Right.
And, we had to switch the load in and get them loaded in so that they were stable and set. And then we had to flex and figure out how to get people in. Events were moved and rescheduled and moved around. Ultimately delivered, at a very high level, which has allowed us to confirm future business with that critical partner of ours. So I think people in this industry are rewarded for being adaptable and resilient. And so it's a good thing that it's become a strength of ours to be able to ensure that our partners in production know that they've got a partner that's going to be as flexible as they need us to be.
If you would talk about this for a moment, a lot of folks take for granted what y'all do, how this works and everything else. The monetary financial oomph that's provided allows us to leverage so many other things. We oftentimes refer to it as punching above our weight with all that we have to offer in this city that you typically wouldn't see in a third-tier city. It's here. What I love about what you guys at New Orleans and Company have been doing is leveraging that to do and bring a lot of other things here, not necessarily in the tourism related industry, but in the economic development, under the economic development umbrella.
When you're a city of 375,000 people in a region of, let's say, 1.2, 1.3 million, and you're competing with major cities with major corporate presence and support, that competition is stiff. But to your point, when you're able, and that's why something like a Super Bowl, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but you know, that's an important event at the moment. It happens in, you know, February 9th of 25 is great. We had a week of events and things that were happening, no doubt significant economic impact for the community. But you're able to leverage something like that to continue to communicate that this is one of the most significant places in the world. We work with UNESCO. We work with Michelin, other brands that are universal and known. We work with Disney and so many other partners to try to continue to ensure that we're elevated in that way, because not every community has those opportunities. That's being brought to us because of the opportunity that, because we have, you know, some of the world's greatest food with Michelin, or because we've got some of the most creative culture with Disney. Or we've got some of the greatest music anywhere on the planet, and we've been a birthplace of jazz, but also all the spin-offs of that that have also come from New Orleans with UNESCO. And all those things keep the brand elevated in a way that reminds people that, you know, who we are and what we're about here. And it creates, as you said, unlimited opportunity to be able to sell. Now, you've got to do the other things right, you know, well also, right? You've got to continue to improve public education and infrastructure and, you know, technology, and continue to grow the healthcare sector and support the universities and do the other things, put the other building blocks in place. But, you know, minus the ability to elevate the culture and the city in the way that, that we have through visitorship, it's hard to even know if you're on the map for consideration for any of those things, or if you're thought of at all.
But, you know, it's interesting, as you point out, the wins in healthcare, the wins in education, wins, all of that actually piques the interest and the curiosity of travelers, right? They like to go to areas where they see
things are happening.
Things happening, where they see an incredible hospital or they see educational institutions, because they'll actually visit them.
I think that it's incumbent on us to recognize what attracts people's interest, and what attracts people's interest is progress. Mm-hmm. What we need to continue to do is build a narrative around that, not a narrative around something else. There are narratives that exist. Certainly in New Orleans, there are narratives about the struggles that we have and the challenges that we have. We have to continue to embrace the positive narratives and remind people. I get a lot of messages, and we've talked offline, you know, a lot of them are negative. They're complaining about something or the other. And, you know, that could be even the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl wasn't great for my business, or Taylor Swift wasn't great for my business. I'm glad it was good for everyone else, but it wasn't great for me. And so there's all these things, and it's okay. I feel like I need to know those things, and so I can help to improve them. But I also got a text the other morning that said, sometimes I forget about how special this place is. All it took was my car being in the shop, though. I commuted using the streetcar this morning. I connected on a bus line and came up Canal Street, and they were both spectacular experiences, and it reminded me of just how beautiful and unique our city is. And I was like, thank you for sending me this message. I needed this today. And we sometimes need to remind ourselves that though we sometimes focus on the negatives, which maybe we should, because we want to improve them, right? And it's our home, and we want it to be better.
Yeah.
The folks from the outside focus on the positives, because, you know, that's what you get to do when you visit a place. And they believe this is one of the most remarkable and unique places anywhere. And that's why we're able to keep attracting them back. And a lot of that's about continuing to tell that story. Our job here is to keep making it a better place so that it'll be a great place to live and work and grow and raise a family. And that will keep us an attractive place to visit. But to your point, people want to go where things are happening, where investment's happening. We need to keep making sure that we not just protect the culture and preserve it, but that we also, you know, persevere and move forward with progress as well. Yeah. And that means new things.
It's funny you say that, because every time I get in it, you know, traffic, and it takes me 20 minutes to get home from the office to the house, I have to remind myself there's not many places that you can typically do it in 12.
No, that's right.
You know, it's like
there's a compactness here that we take for granted. Yeah. I was in Bogota, Colombia for an international conference on meetings with meeting planners. And the tour guide told us, sorry about the traffic jam that we're in right now. During the week, we have a lot of traffic jams. And then on the weekend, we have even more traffic jams. And, you know, it was difficult to move around. And it's a city of 10 million people, by the way.
Right.
So, I mean, a different vibe altogether. But, you know, we do take for granted the compactness and the ability to move around. Not that traffic is ever going to not be annoying.
Yeah.
You know, that
you know,
is
left
what it
my,
is.
Left my house, went to Jazz Fest. It took me 9.5 minutes.
You know? Should have only taken three, right? Yeah.
Right.
I think I get that a lot when, you know, my kids go to school about 14 minutes from my house. And people are like, I can't believe you drive them all the way out there. I'm like, it's 14 minutes. We have a lot to be grateful for here at Jazz Fest, as you said. I mean, think about that celebration. We take it for granted, but it's really, truly a remarkable gathering of talent from around the world. And, you know, as we always say, our community should be getting better, stronger in so many ways, and we're going to all keep working to do that. But sometimes you do have to pause and recognize that you live in one of the most special communities anywhere and celebrate it around the world. Not the biggest place, but certainly one that lives in people's minds and imaginations, and that they either, I mean, I don't meet anyone anywhere that doesn't say, I can't wait to come back, or I've never been and I can't wait to come.
Yeah.
And I that's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And so then the job is on us to ensure that the experience is good when they come here, and that we continue to grow the opportunity to bring different and diverse groups and organizations here that have impacts on the community in different ways as they go. Not every event is going to benefit every business, but we do want people to continue to come in and spend their dollars that then allow our city and region and state to reinvest those dollars for the betterment of the community, and that's ultimately what it's about.
Now, your organization, for me, is an interesting one. First off, I love the folks in the hospitality and tourism industry. I think they're some of the funnest people to be around. They're the glass half full, you know, kind of folks. But you have some of your fiercest competitors that come together inside your organization. And what I love about that is they really do cheerlead for each other. You don't always see that.
I think it's a great point. You certainly could have restaurants who are competing as hard as they can on one day, but also joining hands the next to tell people about the story of our community and how unique it is. Our organization, our board, it's made up of members and member businesses who are all competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they recognize that through our team, they can partner and we can go fight and beat another city to bring economic opportunity to the community. And then they're going to, you know, scrap for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the American way. Like, let's win as a community. And then, you know, we'll all go compete and may the best woman or the best man win. But to your point, there is a special look. I work with these cities all over through various industry boards and other organizations, and we advocate together for the travel industry. But we're certainly competing. And one thing that I think is clear is that our community really does compete as a community first and say, let's win for our city. And then let's, you know, we'll see. We'll let the chips fall where they may, and we'll compete for it. And, you know, that does create winners and losers. It does create those phone calls where it says, well, I'm glad y'all got that conference, but, you know, no one stayed at my hotel or no one bought out my restaurant for that event. And so the challenge then for us in the pressure on us, which is a privilege to have that pressure, is to try to continue to spread that and mm-hmm. continue to spread the opportunity. And I think we need to keep diversifying the economy so there's not so much pressure on this industry.
That's right.
And we want to help make that happen. But pressure is a privilege. And for our team at New Orleans and Company, I think we recognize there's pressure on us to deliver. Sometimes that's hard. But ultimately, competing for your community is a great reason to get up every morning and just keep going and look at things as glass half full, and also not be a realist about it. How can we improve that? How do we make this better? But ultimately, how do we highlight the good, package it, and then bring in the opportunity for people? So I think to your point, it's a privilege to have that kind of level of pressure to deliver.
Well, Walt, congratulations. It's really an honor for us to be here today to share this experience.
Thanks for being a part
that y'all are providing to so many folks that you will recognize today and through this event. And we really appreciate the partnership. Walt Leger, folks, President and CEO of New Orleans and Company. We're here for the National Travel and Tourism Week. This is a recognition banquet, and it's a sold-out affair here at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside. Excited to be here. Best of luck. Congratulations.
Always appreciate the ability to be with you. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. When we return, we'll visit with David Piscola, general manager of the Hilton Riverside Hotel. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live here at Hilton New Orleans Riverside. I got it backwards. Got it right that time. We are here for the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon that's being put on by New Orleans and Company. They're celebrating across the country national travel and tourism all week long. And they will be recognizing a whole lot of folks that work in this industry. And very excited about folks from the down in the trenches, you know, turning the wrenches, greeting people each and every day and the like. And our next guest knows all about the machinations of all of that. David Piscola, the general manager at Hilton Riverside Hotel here. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
So we were just talking about when this hotel opened, 1977.
Correct.
And really started the rejuvenation of this end of Poydras Street.
Yeah, I mean, we opened in 77 as part of a real transformation of the city under Moon Landrieu's administration. And this hotel opened, and soon thereafter, in 84, was the World's Fair. And then right after the World's Fair was phase one of the Convention Center, which really was the transformation of the economy of the city of New Orleans.
I mean, we had a tourism footprint, but it really did not take off.
Yeah, Rivergate was great. I mean, it was a great convention center, but not nearly on the national stage like our current convention center is. 2 million square feet, sixth largest in the country. Because of the building of this hotel, other hotels like it, and the convention center, we really transformed the economy of the city of New Orleans, and really what I think replaced a lot of really solid paying jobs. There's about 85,000 jobs that are directly attributable to the hospitality industry here in the region. In the city and around us. And, you know, what had occurred was the port had a lot of great middle-class jobs that were occurring, mainly stevedores, people carrying things off boats. And in the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of that was transformed with containerization. And those jobs were really eliminated. And so everybody along the Irish Channel area of the city, just upriver from here, really were put out of work. And so we were able to create an industry, a vibrant industry, and provide really solid careers for people.
Now, you guys, y'all ended up doing right before, the World's Fair. In addition to the hotel, we expanded the hotel. Since that time, you guys have continued to be, I think, the largest hotel in the city, right?
We're the largest hotel in the city, largest hotel in the state, largest hotel in about five states. We're the fifth largest Hilton in the world, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an amazing asset. I think a lot of people don't realize it, but you know, Riverwalk Mall, we own the Riverwalk Mall.
Right.
We're one of the largest parking operators in the city. We have over 3,000 parking spots. We're the only hotel on the river itself, and we have our own cruise ship dock. So back in the day, we had a casino. We had the Flamingo casino that was docked here.
Left a few dollars there.
Yeah. and, of course, we have the Creole Queen that docks with it every day. But a lot of the cruise ships dock on my dock. And that's a great another part of the tourism industry.
Then you have to be a Hilton hotel that is unique in more ways than one from all others.
Absolutely. When you think about it, even something as simple as Lester Kabakov, who was creator, developer of the hotel, was a big tennis guy. Mm-hmm. And so we built the largest fitness center in the city, the only indoor tennis facility within the city, 100,000 square feet, pickleball, tennis.
Pickleball players than anybody.
Exactly right.
I tried that once, pulled my hamstring first day out.
But it's a great transition. It really is. For some of our more mature members that are transitioning out of tennis and pickleball is great.
And also a transition relative to Mardi Gras. Big balls. And you had some of the biggest space. Still, we all know about the Harry Lee Fado Doe parties that used to be here.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest because it was almost every meeting room on this floor, right?
In fact, Bacchus board members were just here yesterday for their annual board meeting. We great partner of ours, Bacchus, but we have Endymion, Iris, Isis, you name it, we have it here. Zulu.
What's great about this hotel is it's just not a business. It's not just simply a business. It's really a cornerstone to the community. There's just been countless balls, galas, weddings, anniversaries, meetings that have taken place here, and we're a part of it. You know, there's this saying, 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon. You know, you can always find a way to, you can figure out where it is. Well, what I learned when I got here 8 years ago was that I'll meet someone on the street, and they have a connection to this hotel in one form or fashion or another.
Right.
They worked here. They know somebody that works here. They did a ball here, whatever it may be. And we really are a community in and of itself. It's really great.
Actually, I'm going to be traveling abroad here in a couple of weeks with someone who worked here for a long, long time.
Okay, who's that?
David Blitz.
Oh, of course. David was here yesterday, a good friend of mine. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yeah, so we look forward to that.
And that's Croatia?
Yes, that's how I met him here. And he was, we used to tease him all the time about being neck deep in the Fado Dome. But then so many of my folks that went to high school with me at Jesuit have come up through this place as well.
And it's amazing, you know, when you mentioned David, and we continue this legacy. It's been a part of our DNA here at the Riverside forever, but David and another person that you might know, Tony Abadie.
That's who I was thinking about.
Another long-term guy.
Fellow Jesuit guy.
Yeah, they formed a charity while they were working here called the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. And that foundation raises money and does emergency grants for people in our industry that have run into hard times. So right now they're working with one of my team members whose house burned down. And they're able to quickly and efficiently provide funds for that person and help them through some tough times. So they just hosted, we were participants in it, the Zurich and the Four Kids Foundation.
Yep.
They do a lot of that. So if you're out at the 17th hole, the 18th hole, or the 18th hole suites, that's all David, Tony, and the team from the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation.
You know, it's interesting, and we only have a minute, but how many people come up through the restaurant industry, the hospitality industry, and go on to become CEOs of major companies, not only here, but around the country and around the world?
Yeah, yeah. It's a unique industry, quite frankly, in that it's great to have a formal education. But, like, I started as a dishwasher. And you could do that. You can matriculate through our industry, starting from humble beginnings, and really make a fantastic career and really change what I call is generational change. So you're not just simply changing yourself. You're changing your family, your kids, and your kids' kids, and so on. And it's a unique industry to be able to do that. You don't have to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief. You could just be a humble dishwasher and go to great things.
Move up and be in the center of
everything.
Everything that goes on in a city. Well, David Piscola, thank you so much for joining us, General Manager here at the Hilton Riverside Hotel. Y'all, this place has truly been transformational. I think it's the only hotel in the city that's got a circle in front, too.
I think it is. You're absolutely right.
That's a special little nuance as well.
Which is one of our donations to the city, quite frankly, when it was built.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Remember it well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Best of luck to you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We are back here, folks, and our next guest is someone everyone is familiar with. We have him on the show quite a bit. Billy Nungesser, the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana. He always finds time for us, and we appreciate same. And he is one of the biggest cheerleaders for the tourism and hospitality industry, not only for the New Orleans metro area, but throughout the state of Louisiana to try and increase these numbers. Billy, let's start with how important is National Travel and Tourism Week?
Well, it's a big part of our tourism industry. They stay longer. They spend more money. They don't just go see New Orleans. They'll go see 2-3 states, but they see a lot of cities and towns in every state. So it's a big part. The Canadian market is really hurting. We've had many of we go every 5 years to the Congre. The next year, they come to Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Which is this year. Most of those groups have canceled. I've had many conference calls, and they still love Louisiana, but the people just aren't coming because of the 51st state and the tariffs, and it's just a bad time. And we're hoping we can get this solved quickly and get back, because that's a big part of our market.
It's hard to bounce back from hiccups, right? I mean, it's hard to reestablish. It's a very competitive business. You see this a lot as you travel around the country. You visit with other lieutenant governors. Along that front, what are other lieutenant governors saying about where they see this tourism industry and travel industry going in their states?
Well, you know, we hit way above our weight for our size, the number of people that come to Louisiana, and a lot of those states wish they had the food, the music, but the 400 fairs and festivals that we have, a great tool in our toolbox. But they're concerned. I just got back from a conference, both Republicans and Democrats, about these tariffs and how they could affect long-term if we don't get them solved and put behind us international travel. You know, we had just gotten a grant to go to three new international markets, India, Spain, Italy. And India was the number two international travel to America last year. Great market for us. And so we've kind of looking at it and saying, you know, how much do we invest there, knowing the attitude right now of the foreign visitor. So I'm hoping we can get this put behind us and something gets resolved so we can get back to welcome those people.
A lot of times we have to pivot and have people travel from, you know, within 60, 70, 80 miles. And it's important that we keep that alive and well. How is that going?
No, we exactly right. You know, what we've done is we're looking at the drive market, especially when we have delays with flights and things that cause at the airlines. We always make a big push when that happens, when people look at, hey, I'm not going to go stand in line and get my flight canceled. So we make a big push in the drive market. We've been very successful. I'll tell you, the mountain bike trail and the horseback riding, the private-public partnership at Boca Chica, we get 1,000 people from 15 states every month there. They stay in hotels all the way to Amite. They'll come to New Orleans just to ride that mountain bike trail, which is the number two mountain bike trail in the country now.
Wow.
So we're using...
How did that happen so fast?
Just a great partner. And you know, we're looking for partners in all of our state parks, Resort Conference Center at Fontainebleau. We're talking to some groups now. But we're going to make our park something... People want to travel and do the outdoors. And we're going to make our park second to none, where they're an attraction to come to Louisiana and then enjoy the food, the music.
Instead of a burden. I mean, truly, the way that we looked upon them for many, many years was that they were just a burden.
And now we have seven actually making a profit. And I see a day when all of our parks can generate millions of dollars for the state.
Well, they each have their own unique characteristics and beauty, right? And but you gotta market it, you gotta highlight it, you gotta educate people about what it is.
Well, in respect to the last lieutenant governor, the governor swept all the money generated for 8 years from the parks. And so they had no money. They were falling apart. Matter of fact, you know, I was told you're going to have to close some. They're in bad shape. But our sheriffs really stepped up with volunteers and work release prisons to help us fix things and keep them open. And now, thanks to the support with the legislature and getting our numbers up, we topped 2 million visitors for the first time ever at our state parks. And they just continue to generate. We've got the best fishing. We're building special needs playgrounds, which has been a big hit with this track chair. We can take your child out of a wheelchair, putting a track chair and going to the woods. Those things are booked every weekend at no cost to their family to use those things. So we're making our parks inviting to the special needs community that has really changed lives of many of these young people.
It's good to hear that, because, you know, as we're putting a product out there, and you and I have talked about this before, you don't always hit home runs, but you can hit singles every day, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, somebody was telling me, why did we get out the Macy's Parade? Well, we had a three-year contract, and the last year they were running behind, they didn't even let our performers sing. They zipped by. So we got to get a return on investment. The Rose Parade, we knock it out the park. We have a satellite truck, and we interview from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. Everybody in the country like to see how they build a float. We give it to them. We just ask for 5 minutes at the morning show to talk about Louisiana, the food. And so that thing, we get $25 to $40 million return on our investment for less than $1 million. So we great everything we do to make sure we get the most return. And we make some mistakes, and
sure,
we pivot and go in a different direction.
You take risk.
Absolutely.
They don't all pay off, right? As long as they're calculated risks on the front end, but you don't control everything.
No, it's and I tell you, working with New Orleans and Company, and I see you got Steve Perry coming in.
Yeah.
When I first got elected, Steve, his first job was working for my dad in Baton Rouge. And he said, you know, Billy, we got a real problem the way the rest of the state feels about New Orleans. And I've made an effort to spend as much time in North Louisiana as I do in South. And we hired a team to go around the country and bring sporting events. We had Olympic trials in Shreveport for volleyball, for golf. We had the Dizzy Dean World Series in Ruston. I made an all-out effort to make sure we're promoting all of Louisiana. And I tell you, that advice from Steve was incredible, because now we don't get any pushback when we try to get funding for big events like Super Bowl and the Final Fours in New Orleans, and we have to fund those events. The rest of the legislators in the state don't yell and scream and say New Orleans gets everything, because they're getting their fair share of tourism money, and we sponsor every event in every corner of the state. And that was great advice from Steve Perry when I first got elected.
You know, and I just had this conversation with Walt Leger, is that you're bringing together some of the fiercest competitors here locally, you know, the different brands of hotels, the different restaurants, the different this, the different that, the same thing with all these respective communities across the state. Yes, we're all one, but we're competing, right? And you got to do, you got to share, and you got to promote each other, because the tide will ultimately rise for everyone.
And New Orleans and Company has done a great job at knowing when people come to New Orleans, we want them to know there's more to Louisiana than just New Orleans. Because you come back to New Orleans so many times, if you don't venture out and see other things, and every time you come, you can venture out, if you got an hour, an extra day, to go see other parts of Louisiana. They've been a great partner in doing that. And we recently put some screens in a booth in the convention center. So when you're here for a convention, you can go see and get brochures for other parts of the state and see those beautiful videos of all the other great things to see in Louisiana.
Yeah, I've seen that. Obviously, still trying to deal with issues in the French Quarter. I know you've been very active in that respect, wanting to make sure that what we've been able to accomplish through this heavy holiday season, where we had a lot of events to include Taylor Swift, Super Bowl, we've talked about that a million times, and keeping that momentum going. What do you see there?
Well, you know, early on, I had an agreement with the mayor to manage the quarter separately. Like we talked about San Diego, Nashville. It's such an asset to the whole state. And there's not enough voters in the quarter to ever make it really get the funding and the backing by the council. They got their own districts, and they've got to get reelected. So I'm hoping the next mayor will work with us to make that a historical district that we can manage with residents and businesses, much like they do in other areas, to make it the prime jewel it should be. I tell you, state police and New Orleans police working with those new crime cameras. If you go into my museum where we gave them an office, and they're catching people in real time, facial recognition, before they commit the crimes, they're taking criminals off the street.
Absolutely.
And we already see the difference in the quarter. I was down there for Super Bowl and French Quarter Fest, and I felt safe. And that's something you hadn't felt in a long time. And you're hearing it from the shop owners. There's a breath of fresh air going into this next year with the mayor's race. You know, we got a little pushback on this garbage contract, which was absolutely ridiculous. It's the quarter's cleaner than it's ever been. And we don't want to take that momentum away.
No doubt, for sure. Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor for the great state of Louisiana, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. We truly appreciate it, and have a great week.
You too. Great to be with you, Noah.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.